Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fuel Your Fandom Podcast. My name is Saint.
And me? Well, I'm Jim.
Well, all right. How you doing, buddy?
You know, pretty good. At the risk, again, of like descending into small talk about the weather, spring is here. Spring has come to Wisconsin, and it's not like it's necessarily in the 70s, like it will be when we're in Vegas next week.
No.
It's warming up. The snow is melting, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, and I can actually feel my seasonal depression dissipating by the minute. It's just one of those things like I know we've made this point before, this the dumb meme that floats around Facebook of like, you don't believe seasonal depression is a thing until that first 50-degree day in March or April when it feels like you fucking took ecstasy at a club somewhere. And it's true. It really is true. So I'm hanging in there. How about yourself?
Seasonal depression, right there when your normal depression takes a back seat and lets someone else take the reins.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay. Gearing up for next week. I'm excited. We got an interview coming up this weekend I'm pretty excited about, and it's an old buddy of mine, so that should be kind of fun. And I'm living every moment right now. I'm having a good time. I'm
loving every minute of it. Come on!
I got a new pair of glasses again from Zeddy. I decided on a whim. I got paid. Let's see. Today, as we record this, it is Wednesday. I got paid on Monday, and I decided, like, Sunday night while I was at work, I'm like, you know what? These new glasses are great. They look great. They feel great. But they're really loose on my face. Mm-hmm. They have, like, curved temples on them. And so, like, if I move my head too sharply, they're going to fly off my fucking head. And so I'm like, you know what? This is great and all, but I'm in a heavy metal band, and I do wear my glasses on stage. So I'm going to need something that's a little bit more conforming to my face. So, on a whim, Sunday I picked out a pair, put it all in the cart and everything, got back up. I'm like, all right, when I get paid on Monday, we'll just make it happen. Monday comes around, Monday morning, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, I order the glasses, because I already had them ready to go. I think they cost me a total of like $80, because I paid for the expedited shipping. And I'll tell you what, Zenni is not a sponsor of this program, but if they would like to sponsor us, let them. Holy shit. Like, I used to go to, like, Pearle Vision when I was a kid, or, like, America's Best as I got older.
Well, yeah, there wasn't internet then. I mean,
right.
At the risk of dating both of us, you know? First time I bought shoes online because they actually had my size, I was like, Jesus, this is the fucking future.
Exactly that. But, so it's like a huge shout out to Zenni though. Like I said, not sponsored, but I pay for the expedited shipping on these things, right? So I order them Monday morning. We don't do a podcast Monday. We don't do a podcast Tuesday. I'm getting ready to go to work Tuesday early because I sold one of my 2DS systems, my Nintendo 2DSs, for a little walking about cash for Vegas. You don't want to tap into the old real reserves for that. Got to take out some fun money. So, I have to leave early and go up there and do that. Side story about that. Glad I did, but we'll get to that in a minute. But as I go to leave my house yesterday, to go to work, it's around noon 30, something like that. The package is sitting on my doorstep. And their plant is in Ohio. So, it went from
the fact that they could grind the lenses and put that shit together and get it in a pack. I mean,
it's amazing.
That's almost like
it's
that's
superhuman
almost teleport kind of shit.
I know. That's why it's like I know that they're not sponsors, but I'm so yoked on fucking Zenni right now. It's like I could literally change my entire style with $80 in a day. And I threatened my daughter. Virtual trying on. They'd make you take a picture from like three different angles. So you could virtually try on the frames and see how they look on you. And they had these big old Elton John heart-shaped glasses. And
gotta love that.
I was telling my daughter, I'm like, I'm going to get these ones. You don't even know. And she's like, no, don't do that. Those aren't your style. You wouldn't look good in those. But it's like, you know, for $80 and
I would love, you know, you would look
in a day.
You probably should get one for $80. I will send you the $80 or I will slip it into your pocket when we're in Vegas for you to get those just to mess with Maria because, and maybe just, you know, to mess with the guys in another sentiment, just kind of, you know, rock up there on stage to to do some amazing heavy metal with some Elton John heart-shaped glasses on your face. I would love to see that.
How fucking funny would that be? That'd be so fucking
funny. Hey, guys, what do you think of my new look? Are you fucking serious right now, bro?
I mean, did you bring another pair? Because that's not going to work for us. Nope, this is the other ones I brought.
No.
You serious?
That's what I got.
Why? What's the matter? Why? What's the problem?
Don't you like them? Do I look pretty?
That's so fucking funny.
But well, we got a couple of
Everything's good, man. Everything's good.
Good. Well, we got a couple of real short news segments I want to squeeze in here before we get to the meat of the matter today.
Woohoo! Meat.
In health news, and in weirdly timely health news, this is from NBC. Deadly fungal infection spreading at an alarming rate, says CDC. The fungus, a type of yeast called Candida auris or CRS, can cause severe illness in people with weakened immune systems. Now, every article I've seen about this, it's important to point out that it doesn't necessarily affect the general population. This is people who are elderly or immunocompromised or extended stays in hospitals. But I just thought the timing of this is particularly fucked up, being as The Last of Us, as a television series, and don't worry, Smo, we're still not going to spoil it. And thank you for your message, letting us know that you appreciated that.
Absolutely.
We're specifically thinking about you when we do that, because we want to be sensitive to those things. But with The Last of Us wrapping up, this is not a spoiler, but The Last of Us is based on a
the cordyceps
fungal
fungus.
Infection. Yeah, the cordyceps fungus, which affects insects and smaller animals. Right now, but the conceit of the game and the show is that it makes the leap to humans because of climate change and yada yada. But this is actually a real difficult to treat fungal infection that can affect humans and can be deadly. So that's really fucked up. The timing of it is completely messed up. The fungus, a type of yeast called Candida auris, can cause severe illness in people with weakened immune systems. The number of people diagnosed with infections, as well as the number of those who were found through screening to be carrying the fungus, has been rising at an alarming rate since it was first reported in the U.S., said researchers from the Centers for Disease Control on Monday. Yeah. The increases, especially in most recent years, are really concerning to us, says the study's lead author, Dr. Megan Lyman, chief medical officer in the CDC's Mycotic Diseases branch, in an interview. We've seen increases not just in areas of ongoing transmission, but also in new areas. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not immunocompromised. I don't plan on spending any time in the hospital. I mean, nobody really does, I guess. But
yeah.
But holy shit, that's terrifying. It's just terrifying. I mean, especially after the nation was just in the grip of this prestige TV drama about deadly fungal infections. It's just worrying to me, but, you know.
Wait, did you hear that? Tell me you heard that.
Yeah, I heard that.
Uh-oh. We're screwed. All right, cool. Yeah. Sure.
And quickly moving through some other things here, because we do actually have a compressed schedule today. But from the Onion's AV Club, Shazam came out last weekend. I meant to see it. I didn't get around to it. I had a pretty busy weekend with a gig and some other things that were going on.
Right.
But my $10 ticket would not have contributed any more to the pretty measly, underwhelming $30 million take that Shazam racked up. Now, it's a bummer for me because I met Zachary Levi at E3. He was a really nice guy. You know, he's been kind of, you know, courting some controversy in the entertainment press lately because of some things he said that are probably less than publicist friendly. We'll just say that. But he was really nice to me. Chuck was on the air at the time. This was about 10, 12 years ago. And I was a big fan of that show.
Next thing I know, these super secrets are downloaded into my brain, which means every moment of my life is in danger.
And it was really a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. So he was really nice to me, but I can see... With all the stuff that's going on with DC, with James Gunn and Peter Safran and people just kind of losing confidence in the current stuff that's going on in the universe, we'll see what happens with the Flash movie that's coming out, but Shazam didn't do well. And I really liked the first one. I've said this a couple of different times. It's neck and neck with the first Wonder Woman movie for my favorite DCEU, and they're transitioning to the DCU movie so far. So I really liked it, but I didn't get a chance to see it. I still intend to, but... Zachary Levi is kind of stepping in a little bit in the entertainment press. He is, according to the Onion's AV Club, playing the blame game. The headline is, Zachary Levi has his own idea of Shazam! Fury of the Gods' biggest issue. According to the dismally received DC film Star, Shazam! Fury of the Gods' box office woes can be chalked up to bad marketing. Let the finger pointing begin, as the relatively dismal critical response and box office numbers for Shazam! Fury of the Gods continue to roll in. Star Zachary Levi has officially cast his ballot in the Whose Fault Is This caucus. According to Levi, the fault lies not with the film's quality, but with its marketing campaign. Levi initially chose to air his opinions via Twitter, where he chose to slightly douse the fire of some fans who alleged that the DC director Zack Snyder's devoted fanbase was responsible for the Shazam sequel flop, which is a really weird position to take and a strange hill to die on, but okay, go on. He says, there's no denying that at the moment that there are many Snyder fans who are happy for the failure of the film, and many of them wish that everything that is to come fails, not just continuing with the films or the directors, said one fan. In response, Levi deems the fan's assertion sad but true, but also notes that how much any given Snyder fan delighting in his downfall actually affects box office numbers is anyone's guess. Shazam! Fury of the Gods opened to only $30 million, a steep fall from the 2019 original's $53.5 million opening. I think the biggest issue we're having is marketing, Levi wrote. This is a perfect family movie, and a lot of families aren't aware of that, which is just a shame. So, you know, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah,
you're a big star of a big franchise and ostensibly kind of a likable guy, and the first film did well, and then the second one just drops off. You could call it superhero fatigue.
I don't think it's that. I think what it is everyone knows that the DCEU is on the way out, and anything connected with it is pretty much being shuffled to the wayside, with the exception of this new Flash movie, because they're using the Flash movie as kind of, you know, Flashpoint issue to kind of reset the multiverse, reset the DCU. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows that. Everyone knows that there's going to be no more Shazam going forward. Everyone knows there's not going to be the same Batman or the same Superman or the same Wonder Woman. And knowing that, it makes... and I sound real dismissive when I say this, but it makes the movie almost inconsequential. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And the same thing can be said about what happened with Black Adam. Though with Black Adam, a lot of that was apparently behind the scenes bickering from The Rock. And I read an interesting article. Yeah. It's kind of, don't mean to interrupt your shit right now, but I read a real interesting article where The Rock was, I guess, to blame for nixing a cameo from Shazam actor Zachary Levi at the end, and instead shoehorning in Henry Cavill's Superman, which led to everyone expecting Superman back, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, and Shazam and Black Adam have traditionally had quite a rivalry in the comics.
Nemesis. So it's
very similar costumes. They're inextricably linked. So he's, you know, Black Adam being an anti-hero and Shazam being a big red schoolboy. It's really strange. But you're right. I mean, anybody who sort of like understands the cycle of like release products, whether it's cars or computers or what have you, there's always going to be people that are going to want to suck up a discount on like the last year's phone when the new ones come out and the new one dips $250. But there are always people that are going to want, you know, new and shiny over old and inferior, old and busted, new hotness. And right now the DCEU has the stank of old and busted on it.
Old
right now.
Old and busted.
So, you know, why would anybody continue to invest in a movie regardless of the quality if they know that it's just kind of old news?
And that's why they axed Batgirl.
I still intend to see it.
That's why they axed Batgirl.
Yeah,
that's why they're axing all these different DC projects now, so they can pave the way for this new going forward. I think that that's the only reason why. I mean, everyone... I don't think it's superhero fatigue. I think it's DCEU fatigue.
Yeah. I'm still going to see it. I loved the first one.
I love Zachary
Levi. I still have a soft spot for Zachary Levi.
Yeah.
And but the rumors right now, along with this, well, this movie sure tanked and stepped in it pretty hard. There have been at least a couple of pretty credible sources that I've read that said, well, then that probably means they're going to dump this movie onto HBO Max pretty soon. If the release cycles of things like Black Adam and other things that are similar are any indication, we could see it as early as next month. So mid to late April, we could see Shazam! Fury of the Gods making its debut on HBO Max to try and recoup some of those losses, and maybe I'll wait till then to watch it. I don't know. I still want to try and catch it. I really still feel like superhero movies are kind of like big screen things, but I don't know. It just depends on whether or not I have the time. And given all the work I have to do this week, trying to clear the decks before we head to Vegas next week, and then being in Vegas next week, and then John Wick opening, I don't know. I'll try to get to it, but yeah, it's just it's one of those things that's not really as much of a priority as it probably should be for me. And the last thing I want to touch on really quickly before we get to the main thrust of the subject for today, this is not a political podcast.
Nope.
But politics touch on everything. And this is a personal thing for me because I actually, people who know me know that I write for a living and I'm kind of a stickler about grammar and spelling and punctuation and little things like that. I slip up when I'm speaking, as anybody who's listened to this podcast more than once can attest. But when I'm writing things, I tend to be a little bit more careful. And this headline jumped out at me today for a couple of different reasons. First of all, it's on CNN Politics, and it's about Mitch McConnell, who we know has been out of Congress recently because he, like Humpty Dumpty, had a great fall. He hurt himself, which I just did on purpose. And he has been out. So the headline reads, McConnell chomping at the bit to return as several ailing senators absent from Capitol. First of all, fuck Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is a gravedigger of democracy. This is the guy that said, oh, we're going to let the American people decide when there was a Supreme Court vacancy. When Obama was still president, that he refused to fill for 8 months. But then as soon as Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, he was within days on the horn trying to get somebody shoehorned in during the Trump administration. So fuck that guy. That's just the big thing, among other countless reasons why he's an asshole. But the headline bothers me because chomping at the bit is a phrase that has become so sort of like ingrained into the national culture. People say it. It means I'm eager to do this. But it really doesn't.
The term is champing at the bit.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And even if that's what he said, even if Mitch McConnell is a dumb fuck enough, and I don't doubt this, to have said it wrong. Oh, I'm just chomping at the bit. And CNN was quoting him directly. There are editorial tools that an editor can use, including brackets for to put after somebody says something that's wrong. If it's a direct quote, you put in brackets SIC, which is an editorial note saying, yeah, we know this is wrong, but in due course of journalistic excellence, we transcribe things exactly as they're said, but we have to notate that if you're reading this on the page, we know that it's wrong, but we have to transcribe it as it was spoken. So the headline being here, I'm looking right at it, chopping at the bit. It's weird. It's kind of one of those things that everybody understands what they mean when they say it. It's still wrong, but it's become so ingrained in the popular culture and in the public discourse as a phrase because it makes sense. The other way doesn't really. I mean, champing as a word, as a direct translation, it does mean a horse kind of chewing on the lead. That's where it came from. But because champing is strictly a horse term and chomping is what we all do when we gnash our teeth on something, it kind of transmuted in the public consciousness as champing, from champing to chomping, because it just makes sense. But it's wrong. It's kind of like when people say deep-seated versus deep-seated. Deep-seated with a D is the thing that I see a lot because it's, you know, people, it makes sense. It's a deep-seated fear, like it's something that has been seated in my soul and is growing. But the actual correct phrase is deep-seated, S-E-A-T-E-D, because it's sitting deep within you. But because the words are pronounced similarly and because, well, it kind of makes sense the other way too, it's one of those things that kind of comes out a lot, like loose versus lose, or the wheel versus well, or the there thing. It's just, these are little things that really don't make that much of a difference to most people, but somebody who writes for a living, i.e. yours truly, I see this shit and it just makes me kind of buggy. It just really does. It gets in my brain and makes it itch, and I kind of want to get after it. But this thing about Mitch McConnell, I mean, the story of him actually being in or out of Congress based on his personal health, whatever. But CNN, I take issue with you. I rebuke you. You're on notice. Even if he said chomping at the bit, even if he said that out loud or wrote it down, you have a responsibility as a journalistic organization with integrity to put the standard traditional editorial bracketed SIC after that to indicate to everybody reading, yeah, we know this is wrong, but this is what he said. Especially because, I mean, you know, CNN is pretty center-left, and they're not exactly huge Mitch McConnell fans. We're not talking about Fox News here. So you'd think they would jump on any opportunity to kind of make him look like the dumb fuck that he is. So, again, a tiny little hair-splitting editorial thing, but it just got under my skin today. So no. I kind of felt like I had to wave around the pennant of pedantry and let everybody know that, yes, I am that much of a nerdy asshole when it comes to language.
He really is, people. Trust me on that. I don't prefer the term grammar Nazi, but it's been used. But
yeah.
One last thing I want to throw in before we get to the meat and topic. I was doing just fine. My finances are doing just fine. And what happened yesterday, Jim? I sent you a picture and I said, God damn it, here we go again. Another mystery drop from our boys at New Wave Toys. Shiloh's doing it again. And they're making the announcement today as we record of what this new cabinet's going to be. And all they've teased us with is the silhouette of the cabinet. They haven't told us what this new pre-order is going to be. And I'm excited. But I always get that excitement is always muted with just a little bit of, God damn it, take my money again. Fuck.
Shut up and take my money.
Ooh, that Philip J. Fry moment. That's a little bit of foreshadowing.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. But they're making the announcement today in about an hour as we sit. So I'll know really soon what that cabinet's going to be. And so will you, because I'll let you know. They've already got my money.
As these words are coming out of my mouth, but I'm actually excited about it.
Why wouldn't you be? You know they do good work. Bless, damn you, and bless you over there at New Wave Toys. Damn you all to hell.
God damn you all to hell.
Other than that, oh shit, I was going to tell you real quick before we jump in. Dude, yesterday I had to go sell that 3DS or the 2DS up north. Yeah. They lived up north at Tacoma. I said, oh, I got to go up that way anyway for work. I'll meet you up there. I'll drop it off. So I drop it off. It's like 15 minutes north of where I work. I come back down. I get to work in time. That's no big deal. Right around 30 minutes after I drive through that area, close to the water park we got up here, there was a semi-accident. Refrigerated produce truck driver fell asleep at the wheel and... Ooh. Rolled the semi after hitting the center barricade. The entire rig caught fire. Luckily, passersby got this guy out of the rig in time. I mean, he's pretty effed up. They had to airlift him. But they got him out before he caught fire. So that's good.
Thank goodness.
And then subsequently, that part of the freeway was shut down for like 6 hours. So that made my job last night kind of fun. Had to find a lot of workarounds to get around that area.
Recalculating.
I hope...
good thing modern GPS reroutes us if we divert from our designated path.
Well, plus all the different routes I have to take with these guys. I kind of know 15 different ways to get everywhere at this point around that area. But I sincerely hope that this guy is going to be okay. I know it's terrifying. And I've seen some of the pictures and they're pretty bad. So
yeah.
I hope to God this guy's okay. But that was just a little interesting aside about having to deliver that 2DS yesterday. So that is not the point of the conversation today.
It is not.
So as always, today's topic is going to be something different. We were just covering a bunch of stuff that kind of is floating around the peripheral here. And so
there's always nerd news.
There's always nerd news, and there's always weird random shit going on in our lives. Oh, by the way, we're recording this a little bit later than we recorded the earlier chunk. Ghouls and Ghosts. Ghosts and Goblins. The new Replicates from New Wave Toys. And of course, they got my money.
Shut up and take my money!
Of course they did. Of course they did. Their quality's too good. Too good! And to have a pair of not just complimentary cabinets, but like the one game and its sequel, both in their own respective cabinets, it's going to be kind of cool. So, Daniela, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I had to.
I'm sorry.
But be that as it may, still not the topic of conversation. Now, if you want to join in to any of our shenanigans or monkey shines, there are various ways that you can jump in and make yourself involved. Again, like we like to say, the Fuel Your Phantom podcast was never meant to be just a one-way conversation. We want to involve you, our listeners. So you can do that a couple of different ways. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/FuelYourFandom. You can send us an email at FuelYourFandom@gmail.com.
FYFTalentBooking@gmail.com is the backup email address. You can also find us on Instagram at FuelYourFandom, on what's left of Twitter at Fuel_Your. And, of course, you can always find us anywhere fine podcasts are bought, sold, traded, or stolen on any of the distribution platforms. And if you can't wait, and I know that I often can't, my boy Saint here gets the latest and greatest episode up at fuelyourfandom.buzzsprout.com every Friday morning. So you can always check us out right there.
Absolutely you can.
Yes! 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 Yes!
And we are still running that contest. So if you've got some ideas for some merchandise, a t-shirt idea, send us your design. And if you've got the idea that we pick as something we're going to put on a t-shirt or whatnot, you could be getting that t-shirt on us. So hit us up, feelyourfandom@gmail.com. We look forward to it. Anyways, so as Jim mentioned while we were talking in our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles conversation, we are going to talk about voice actors. Because, of course, back in that episode, we were talking about James Avery, Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air being the voice of the Shredder.
What the devil happened? Where the devil are we? Dimension X! No! But I don't want to conquer this place. I want to conquer Earth!
And I just thought, you know, Jim had a really good idea. Let's jaw about our favorite voice actors. I mean, yes, I made a joke, Kevin Conroy, because always Kevin Conroy. He will forever be my Batman.
Always Kevin Conroy.
You want to know something funny? Even after everything you've done, I would have saved you.
Oh, Batman, my Batman. But there are many, many prolific voice actors out there that just, if you stop and think about the body of work that they've done, it's astronomical. I mean, and we got a few of them we want to talk about today specifically. Jim, do you want to go first? Take your pick.
Well, if we're talking about voice actors, it almost makes sense to start with the granddaddy of them all, the man of a thousand voices, he who did half of the Looney Tunes character roster, Mr. Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc, that's right.
He was one of the first voice actors that most people became aware of when that was even a thing, because he was the voice of Bugs Bunny.
And the penguins, it says here, comes from the South Pole. South Pole? Ooh, I'm dying!
He was Daffy Duck. He was Porky Pig.
You're despicable!
He was Sylvester the Cat. He was pretty much every single major character in the big arcana that you can think of. From the Looney Tunes era, they kind of cheaped out. They hired one dude, and they said, "Here, come up with voices for this entire rogues gallery of legendary characters." And he was like, "Yeah, I got this," and he did.
How do you go about creating a voice? Do you get a voice and then say, "Draw something to go along with this," or do they come to you and say?
They show me a picture of the character, and then they say, they show me a storyboard which shows what the character is going to do in the cartoon. From this, I have to create the voice. Like Bugs, they said, was a tough little stinker. So I thought, which is the toughest voice in this country, either Brooklyn or the Bronx?
So you put the two of them together, that's how I got the voice for Bugs, Doc.
And, yeah, he did it spectacularly. I mean, most people didn't even know that it was the same guy doing all of them, because he had such incredible talent, such incredible plasticity, facility, whatever you want to call it, to create the vocal character behind all of these incredible characters that that you remember from the classic Looney Tunes cartoons.
Right, and we're gonna go down the IMDb's as we talk about these guys, just to kind of throw a smattering of what these guys done at you. And of course, like, as he mentioned, all the Looney Tunes in the world: Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Yosemite Sam.
That's a real raucous cowboy.
Foghorn Leghorn, Porky Pig, the Coyote, which Coyote doesn't really talk much. Mr. Spacely from the Jetsons.
Jetson! What are you doing?
Which I had no idea. The voice of Dino on the Flintstones. Barney Rubble from the Flintstones. scrolling down the list, we got Heathcliff from the Heathcliff cartoon. Marvin the Martian. Back again with the Looney Tunes.
Oh, goody!
Yeah, you did that one pretty well.
The Illudium Q-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
He was always my favorite when I was a kid.
He was also the voice of Mr. McKenzie in Strange Brew. Which, if anyone's watched Strange Brew, of course that's Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis' Canadian send-up of the Great White North. You can listen to him, and you hear Yosemite Sam. You hear Cosmo Spacely in the back of that voice. So, you know, it makes sense. It just makes sense.
What the hell's going on in there?
I'm just getting your beer.
But yeah, this guy was very prolific. And again, like you said, he was one of the early progenitors of voice acting. He was the voice of Twiggy from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Someone isn't gonna like that.
See, I like this, because I can scroll down this list and get surprised my own damn self, but... Bitty. Yeah, that was him. That makes sense. But yeah, Mel Blanc, one of the originators of the multi-voice... the multi-voice of madness.
Which is, of course, multiverse, said with the Bugs Bunny Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, welcome to the multi-voice.
So, okay, so we did Mel Blanc. Now, we can't talk about Mel Blanc without talking about one of the people that stepped up to fill the void left by Mel when Mel passed. And this guy, you've heard his voice. You've seen him in something. You know him from something. And in fact, he's coming to a Comic-Con this summer up here in Washington, and I really kind of want to meet the guy and get his autograph. That'd be really neat. But Billy West, and it's almost safer to say, who has he not done? Because this guy, his credits are long and large and very stretched out. But the big ones that that stand out to me is he does a lot of voices on Futurama, Philip J. Fry, Dr. Zoidberg.
What started out as a pleasant afternoon of drugs and surgery has not gone as planned.
Professor Farnsworth, just to name a few. But in addition, Ren and Stimpy, back when John Kriskalofsky or whatever his name was had to step away, they hired Billy West, and Billy West was the voice for a very long time.
You've been using my Robert Goulet party wig as a coffee filter again, haven't you? Sure thing, Ren.
Scrolling down the list. I know he did Bugs Bunny as well. I know he took over the role as Bugs Bunny for a while because, as we said, Mel Blanc did it for a while, and then they had a couple of fill-ins. But, I mean, he's literally in everything. He's a bunch of voices in Skylanders, which is a video game, for those who don't know. He did the voice of Elmer Fudd at one point or another. He did the voice of Rocket Raccoon in Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
I'm sorry, are you talking?
Better than you. Now put the stick down or the next one goes right up your nose.
You're a laser gun packing talking raccoon?
Hey, who are you calling a raccoon?
That's fun, because now that's done by Bradley Cooper. But, I mean, seriously, looking down this list, it's hard to see who he hasn't done. Of course, he was Doug Funny from the Nickelodeon cartoon Doug.
Well, shouldn't I be sweating or breathing hard or something?
I mean, he played... Remember I told you when they were doing the Booster Gold movie that he should voice Skeets, the robot computer for Booster Gold? He's done it before. And maybe that's where I subconsciously got my idea from. In the old Batman the Brave and the Bold cartoon... he voiced Skeets, Booster Gold's companion. The voice of Zap Brannigan from Futurama as well.
As my protege, you should know that the only way to deal with a female adversary is to seduce her. This time we are sure she's a woman, right?
Yes.
Good.
He's been very, very busy.
Yeah, I mean, it could take me this entire podcast just going down the list of characters that he's done himself, but it's a lot. Forgive any background noise you may hear, changes in background noise, fans coming on, fans going off. I also have a lot of traffic going on outside my house, so I can't guarantee none of that won't come through. My apologies.
Well, it won't be the wouldn't be the first time we've turned fans on and off.
Hey-o. Not on purpose. I never did it on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. No, never intentional.
Animaniacs, Tom and Jerry, Jimmy Neutron, he did a bunch of voices. Cat Dog, Duck Dodgers. Duck Dodgers makes sense. He did a lot of Warner Brothers stuff, so.
It's just really funny. I mean, I'm guessing that voice acting, I know some voiceover artists, folks that do like audiobooks and things like that, and at some point I'd like to get my friend Andrew to be a guest on here. He's done quite a bit of voice work, just to kind of get a sense of like how tough it is to crack into this, because it really seems like, given as prolific as a lot of these voice actors are, and how versatile they are, that Hollywood as an entity just kind of seems to keep falling back on the same, like, maybe 20 people to do all the voiceover work for cartoon characters, for video games. I mean, it's really a pretty elite club. It's kind of a small fraternity of people who kind of keep getting the phone calls.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're not doing stunt casting, like celebrity voice casting and things like that, once you get into the actual professionals in this trade, yeah, the same names keep popping up over and over again, and for good reason. I mean, he was freaking Invader Zim, for God's sake. Invader Zim, how did I forget that?
I have had enough of your nonsense from your smelly mouth filled with corn!
I haven't been eating corn.
Liar!
I love Zim. He's so terrible. But yeah, we talk about the Looney Tunes stuff. He's voiced Bugs Bunny. He's voiced Pepe Le Pew. He's voiced Elmer Fudd. I mean, he's done all of these voices that you have heard, and probably in a time frame that you have heard them. He is also the long-standing voice of the red M&M on those M&M's commercials. They call him Red Plane. He was Red Plane.
As opposed to Red Peanut, I guess. Or Yellow Peanut, which very famously is J.K. Simmons, who tends to be one of the best things about anything he's in. Now, that guy, he won an Oscar for Whiplash, but he was also J. Jonah Jameson in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. And, he does the Farmers Insurance commercials. He's just one of those character actors who is very swiftly emerging as an A-lister. He's transcended his bucket, which I think is pretty great. Well, in terms of versatile voice actors, I mean, Billy West has obviously done a ton of work. But if you want to flip things over, he's mostly done, you know, because he's a dude, male characters. And if there's any lady equivalent for Billy West, it would be Tress MacNeille. Now, she's another one. I'm looking at her IMDb page right here, and she has got 422 individual credits. Now, that's not talking about individual TV episodes, because she's done 617 episodes of The Simpsons alone. She is Agnes Skinner. She is Dolph. Boy, she's the amount of it's incredible the amount of voices she's done, and that's just The Simpsons. She's also Dot Warner on Animaniacs.
Let's not go through the whole rigmarole of you pretending you don't want to sing your Countries of the World song. It's getting old.
She's Daisy Duck on most of the latter-day Disney stuff that's been happening in the last maybe 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
She has done Chip in Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Hey, what's the big idea? Just look at this mess. How can you be such a slob? You know you're supposed to clean up after yourself. Says who? Says me. That's who.
I love Rescue Rangers. That was a good
one. Yeah. Wilma Flintstone. She picked up the torch to do Wilma Flintstone and some of the latter-day Flintstones properties.
They did a Chippendale's Rescue Rangers kind of reboot movie. Or not reboot, but like a continuation movie on Disney Plus. If you haven't checked that out, I highly recommend you do that. It's goofy. It's fun.
And Andy Samberg and John Mulaney do the voices of Chip and Dale in that one. And that was a really fun movie. I really liked it.
Chip! Dale, you look different.
It's no secret I had the CGI surgery. What's been up with you?
You know, this, that, other vague things to fill the space of this conversation.
Cool.
It was really strange, but I found myself attached to it. I liked it. I was a big fan of Rescue Rangers growing up, though, so.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Tress MacNeille also has done Selina Kyle in Batman The Dark Knight Returns animated show. She's done some video game voiceover work. She was Daisy again in Epic Mickey on the Nintendo Wii. Boy, she's incredibly prolific and has just done so much work and incredibly versatile. But, you know, best known for The Simpsons, certainly. She's done pretty much every lady voice on The Simpsons that you can think of that's not Marge or Lisa.
One of my favorite voices on Futurama, too. She played Mom.
Yeah.
On Futurama.
Yeah.
Some dumb bastard is nearly a million other dumb bastards following his every twit. Are you dumb bastards listening to me, you dumb bastards?
Why are you so angry, Mommy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just a little nervous about my evil plan. You dumb bastards!
But she did make an appearance. I'm scrolling down the list. She did make an appearance in the Rescue Rangers reboot movie as high-pitched Chip... and also his gadget. So she did have a role there. That's good. But yeah, again, talk about a list that's just stretches on for days and days. Tress MacNeille has always been one of my favorites. Of course, I had a real attachment to the afternoon cartoons when I was a young kid, when I was in middle and high school. And of course, back in the day, that fare was Batman the Animated Series or... Animaniacs was on at that time frame, so I really loved Animaniacs, and these are the ones that I really got into, and so those are the ones that stick out for me. But she took over the voice of Rosie the Robot in the Jetsons. There's just so much. But yeah, she like video game voices. She did Kingdom Hearts. She did the Daisy character in Disney Kingdom Hearts. That's funny. She's got a Batman connection. That's really cool. A lot of voice actors have a Batman connection, which we'll find out today, so that's kind of neat. But, I mean, I'm trying to scroll through her IMDb, and, like you said, 600-something appearances, 400 different independent entries, and just trying to scroll to the bottom of it. Yeah.
It's so many. There's very few voice actors who can claim that many credits, but the next guy we got to talk about, and he could be... easily an episode all by himself. With a whopping 901 individual credits on IMDb for voiceover work, we got Frank Welker. Now, Frank Welker, you might not know his name, you probably don't know his face, but if you've listened to or seen a cartoon at any point in the last 50 years, you know Frank Welker. Most famously, yeah. Frank Welker, using a voice that's very close to his natural voice, has been every iteration of, well, except until recently with the Velma stuff, of Fred Jones on Scooby-Doo properties. G-Gang, he's Fred. He is the voice of Fred and has been the voice of Fred forever.
You know, throughout the years, a lot of people have asked me, Fred, why the scarf? And I always tell them the same thing. Why don't you mind your own f***ing business, pal?
Yeah. He actually still is in Velma. He does a different character in Velma. He plays William on Velma. They booted him out and got a younger voice to do Fred, even though he is the classic and forever voice of Fred. But, oh my gosh, I mean, this guy's credits, like I said, 901 credits. He's done Animaniacs. He's done Scooby-Doo. He's done Curious George. He's done some work with Disney, with Mickey Mouse Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He's done the actual voice of Scooby-Doo in most of these Scooby-Doo properties, so he's pulling double duty when he's doing Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
Double duty!
He was in Aladdin. My gosh. He's done...
You're forgetting his
Transformers.
Major,
he's the voice of Megatron.
Yeah. Megatron!
In Transformers.
Decepticons.
Megatron.
And
famously,
he even did some stuff on.
Famously, they had brought in for the original Transformers movie that Michael Bay did. They brought in Hugo Weaving to voice Megatron. And Megatron, he did that for the one movie, but it didn't revoice him for any other movie subsequently after that. And Frank Welker took the role after that, as he should.
Which is really funny, because Hugo Weaving kind of has this reputation for, well, I'll do it once, but then you're kind of on your own after that, because he also very famously didn't want to reprise his role as Red Skull in the Avengers when they needed to call him back. And another guy who's an incredible voice actor, actually more of an impressionist, but he gets the call. Ross Marquand is an incredible voice actor and also a really good impressionist. And he did the voice of Red Skull. When Hugo Weaving didn't want to come back for it.
Let's see, Frank Welker's got also, I'm just, again, a lot of this is going to be scrolling down and being surprised by what voices you see, because there's so freaking many. Again, a Batman
Dr.
connection.
Dr. Claw on Inspector Gadget.
I'm a music lover too, Gadget.
A Batman connection. He played Mayor Stevenson in Batman The Dark Knight Returns. He also voiced Curious George in Curious George. He was Azrael the Cat in The Smurfs. We already said Scooby-Doo and Fred Jones. But he also did Dino-Mutt. The voice of Dino-Mutt, the dog Wonder.
Oh no, it couldn't be. Oh yes it is.
Why did Dog Wonder?
He's Oswald the Lucky Rabbit in the Epic Mickey video game. He was Bolt in the video game. The superhero dog, not in the film, but in the video game. So I mean, the guy. If you just want to ever do a deep dive, pull up a YouTube video and the many voices of Frank Welker. I mean, he's up there with Mel Blanc in terms of being one of the most legendary cartoon and video game. Well, not the Mel Blanc, the video games, but he's been a voice actor for, and still just constantly getting work. I mean, he's just been doing this for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. I mean, I see you scrolling IMDb and I'm doing the same thing. His first voice credits.
I don't have a I don't have a page.
Showed up in 1969. His first credits in 1969, so he's been doing this for well over 50 years, and shows no signs of slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's like literally, when we talk about the voice of Fred Jones, he was Fred Jones in 1969 on the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how far back he goes.
And still
with
is.
That. Yeah. And, I mean, good for him. I'm glad he's got that kind of longevity in his career. It's really neat to see that somebody can get a character like that and stick with it. And also that that Megatron. I mean, he can stick with that as well. He's been the voice of my childhood, one of the voices of my childhood for a very long time.
Such heroic nonsense.
But a bunch of old Hanna-Barbera stuff, too. Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch and... Watch the Birdie, and just the guy is prolific as hell. He was the voice of Jabberjaw. I don't know if you do you remember Jabberjaw?
Oh, I absolutely remember Jabberjaw. Hey, the shark.
The weird undersea.
The shark who played drums.
Josie and the Pussycats meets Scooby-Doo mashup thing that they did. Because, like you say, when something works, do that again, but different. They did the whole take on the mystery-solving teens, like, so many different times. And so he played Jabberjaw as well. I like Jabberjaw.
The shark who plays drums.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, literally, we can go on forever. Like I said, Dynamutt and the Blue Falcon. And he played Bam Bam and the Flintstones. And
just along with Mel Blanc, just the voice of our childhood.
Absolutely. Now, the next one I want to talk about is a little bit more, I don't want to say recent, because he's not. He's been at the game for quite some time. And I follow him on TikTok because I like to see what he comes up with. He's always doing his voices. He's very happy to talk to his fans. But Rob Paulsen. Rob Paulsen, of course, again, we talk about the voice of my childhood. This guy's got 565 credits to his name, so he's no slouch. But a few of the voices you may have heard. Pinky, from Pinky and the Brain fame.
Ooh, oh, that was almost as thrilling as our swirling whirlpool of fun back in the lab, right?
You've been playing in the toilet again, haven't you, Pinky?
But also Yakko Warner. We talked about Yakko Warner and Pinky.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan.
So if you ever get a giggle out of Narf, that's him.
I do,
absolutely. So, in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 80s cartoon, 87 and 96, man, that had a good run, didn't it? We talked about that recently. I love that
Absolute
cartoon.
Absolute classic.
He played Raphael.
You really think we're that stupid?
No. Never leave yourself open like that, Leonardo.
So I got it right the second time. Yeah. I thought it was Donatello at first, but it was Raphael. And the reason I got that confused was when you skip forward to the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon from 2012 to 2017. He was the voice of Donatello, and also the voice he revoiced again. I talked about that crossover episode that they did. He did the voice of 1987 Raphael as well. So that was kind of cool.
I can't think. I'm seriously stressing here. Okay, think calm thoughts.
But, I mean, Rob Paulsen's career is ridiculous. Of course, only a couple things really stand out. But, another big one that a lot of people of a certain age are going to understand. He played Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron.
So, what do you guys want to do today?
Hang out with your mom?
I really love Jimmy Neutron.
I specifically like Carl Weezer because Carl Weezer was just this... He was the nerdy kid. He was the little fat kid, and he couldn't keep up
he
quite as well.
He touched a mama.
Like, I mean, I guess if I was going to be associated with a Jimmy Neutron character, I wish it would be through Carl Weezer, just
Carl
because
Weezer, yeah.
He was a sensitive guy.
The
but
underdog
I
can
know
always
I'm,
identify with Carl.
I know I'm a sheen. I know I am, unfortunately, because of my ADD.
That's why I decided early on to sabotage my highly scientific mind with cartoons and sugar.
But again, we got a Batman reference. In the 2017 Batman and Harley Quinn movie, he did the voice of Harold Goldbloom and additional voices. So a few voices in there. But I told you, all voice actors have a Batman connection. I'm starting to get that.
Yeah.
But
all roads lead to Gotham City.
Ultimate Spider-Man again. He jumped in as Batroc the Leaper. A computer voice, Boomerang, and then Man. He was Man. He jumped in as the voice of Spike in Land Before Time 14. I told you they made a frickin' 24 of those movies, right? That was in 2016.
Him,
yeah. They're all direct-to-video things, I guess. I don't know. But again, Skylanders is another big one. He did some voices in Skylanders. I guess if you're a voice actor in the industry, you're going to touch on a lot of the same properties that need multiple voice actors for multiple things. So, like, your video games that have a bunch of different characters, you're going to need a few different voice actors, and who better to go to than the trained professionals, you know what I mean?
But yeah, just edging out Rob Paulsen, I'm looking at another page here with, he had 565 credits. This guy has 568 credits.
Uh-oh.
So, in the grand voice actor runoff, Tom Kenny is kind of kicking Rob Paulsen's butt by at least a couple of properties.
Hey,
and Tom Kenny,
hey,
of course, most famously is SpongeBob SquarePants. That's where you've probably heard him and where you're most familiar with him. But in addition to that, he's also done the role on the Patrick Starr Show. He was on Paradise PD. He's done quite a few voices on American Dad and Rick and Morty. He's done some Woody Woodpecker. He was in the Guillermo del Toro's Oscar-winning Pinocchio adaptation.
Which I still haven't watched.
Looney Tunes.
I haven't watched Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio yet.
He was Green Arrow and Penguin on the Batman and Superman Battle of the Super Sons animated feature.
There's your Batman
and that's just
connection.
In the last couple of years. That's just the last couple of years. I mean... The guy is so in demand. It's Talking Tom and Friends, which I guess was a based on the app. I don't know, but it's DuckTales, Ben 10, Samurai Jack, Shazam. He was the Penguin in Shazam in the Lego DC. Shazam, the arm on Harley Quinn.
Star Trek Lower
again,
Decks.
It's just the last couple of years. He's done quite a bit of the Powerpuff Girls,
yeah.
The animated Guardians of the Galaxy. Bob's Burgers, just credits on credits. But of course, you know him best as SpongeBob. But good lord, the guy can't turn down any work. He's been in everything.
Yeah, and
Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah, I mean this list is large, very large.
He did 40 episodes of the Ultimate Spider-Man series as Vulture and Dr. Octopus.
Hmm. Interesting. Tom Kenny is one of those... when I was in college, which seems like forever ago now at this point, and it was, when I was studying a component on animation, they showed us a lot of the early animation stuff from the guy who would go on to create SpongeBob SquarePants, and that was interesting, and so I've been interested for a long time in SpongeBob. I never really used to watch it a lot, just because, you know, I thought the humor was kind of juvenile, and I don't smoke weed a lot and sit around and watch SpongeBob. But when I worked as a caregiver, an in-home caregiver, I would my housemates, not the housemates, but you know the people that lived in the house that I worked, they liked Nickelodeon. They liked Nickelodeon a lot.
Nickelodeon.
And so Nickelodeon was on quite frequently, and SpongeBob was one of the shows that they really liked. Aside from things like Victorious or iCarly, which I've seen far too much for a grown man.
Yeah.
But, he's had a lot of work for a lot of years. Now, I want to touch on one that maybe not quite as prolific, but definitely one that holds a special place in my heart. And as soon as I say the name, you're going to know fucking why. Mark Hamill.
Of course.
Mark Hamill.
Oh, God, yes.
Luke Skywalker himself.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
With an astonishing 361 credits on IMDb under his belt. Not all of them for voice acting, but he's done quite a lot of voice acting. And one of the first things I remember hearing him do, of course, was my favorite take on the Joker. Bruce Timm's Batman the Animated Series, Joker.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
What's wrong with that? It's done wonders for me.
We go back. He's done. He did voices. Even these are most recent. He was a voice in Invincible, the cartoon. Masters of the Universe Revelation. He took over the role as Skeletor.
Skeletor?
My apologies for keeping you in the dark, my dear. But when I was duly destroyed in the orb explosion, I was forced to seek refuge in your wandstaff to protect my essence. You did good, Linny. Now, take your rightful place at my side.
Which I thought was fun. I thought it's great.
Yeah.
He's got a very distinctive voice, so you know it's him. But... it's neat to see him get dark with his voice because, you know, you get to see a different side of him. Because you grow up looking at Luke Skywalker, poster boy, farm boy, rebellion poster boy, and just kind of all-around good guy.
Yeah.
You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
So be it, Jedi.
Wholesome superhero, yeah. A force for good, no pun intended.
No pun intended. But then you see his credits, and he was the voice of Chucky in the remake of Child's Play, which, of course, was originally Brad Dourif. We don't want to knock Brad Dourif there, but I never saw the remake of Child's Play. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't tend to get as much into horror movies these days as I did when I was a kid. If something comes along that's kind of a landmark thing, like I think the last horror movie that I saw was the original A Quiet Place, and I didn't watch the sequel. So I just was a lot more into horror when I was a kid. But I think we talked about this. I think we had the discussion that once they got to gore porn, once they started putting out stuff like Hostel, it just kind of turned me off. So, if you got fanciful killers that have... you know, quips and personalities like your Freddy Krueger's, you know, then I'll watch that. I did when I was a kid, but I don't know. I kind of fell out of horror when they started making just splatter for the sake of splatter and gore for the sake of gore. It just really turned me off.
Yeah, I guess in this movie, he's like a AI version of Chucky. I don't know how that worked out, but it's something to look into. But But we got your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles credits. You've got your, of course you got your Batman credit. You don't even need to look. He's the friggin' Joker, for God's sakes. But he's appeared in things like the live action Flash CW show as the Trickster, and but things like Arnim Zola and Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Assemble. He played Arnim Zola, which is the guy with the TV head. Little camera for a head, a TV in his stomach. But, I mean, Mark Hamill has been around. He's been...
Yeah.
But the one you most know him for is probably going to be the Joker. He did the Hobgoblin as well, I think, in one of the Spider-Man animated series. But, I mean, for me, it's always going to be the Joker. I mean, no matter how many different voices he does, that's the one that I'm going to most gravitate towards. That's the one that I'm going to most often hear. But he does have another Star Wars credit. On the Clone Wars, he did an episode as Darth Bane. So one of the early progenitors of the Jedi, of the Sith Rule of Two. He was that. But again, and I feel dumb for having not mentioned this. I just literally sat through and watched this entire series again, start to finish. He was voices in Metalocalypse. Quite a few, but the most notable ones were the bad guys, Senator Stampingston and Mr. Salacia in Metalocalypse.
What you don't understand yet, General, is that we need them alive. It is time for me to reveal myself and show them my true power.
So, yeah. Mark Hamill has been at it a long time, but he will always and forever be my Joker. And of course, I want to mention the Joker in the same breath as I mention his wonderful co-star, Kevin Conroy. And they were really, really super good friends. And
the late, great Kevin Conroy, who is, as we've said several times, he's our Batman.
Always will be, always has been. I mean, live action, yeah. Batman can do whatever they want. I don't care. I'm pretty open to whoever they bring for new properties like that. I'm willing to look at all the different new Batmans. I don't care. Pattinson was actually pretty good. I didn't mind that. But as far as voice of Batman, there's been a lot of voices of Batman in animation. But the standout for me is always going to be Kevin Conroy.
Now, Will Arnett's pretty good. He did Lego Batman, but Kevin Conroy, he's just untouchable. He's untouchable.
Absolutely.
I could have escaped any time, but I thought I'd stick around to keep an eye on you clowns.
Kevin Conroy, of course, did the voice of Hordak in the new He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon. Not the Kevin Smith one, the one on Netflix that my daughter likes, for whatever reason. But he did come back for Masters of the Universe Revelation. He played the voice of Merman, the aquatic foe Merman.
When the brine fills your lungs and you've taken your last breath, know that it will be me, the Merman, who pries the Sword of Power from your cold, dead hands.
He did take as live-action Bruce Wayne for the Batwoman crossover that they did, a multiversal version of Bruce Wayne. Not a very nice guy. Well, Bruce Wayne's not really a nice guy, but you know what I mean. But, I mean, you look down his credit list, and it's just Batman this and Batman that and Bruce Wayne this and Batman that. And it has to be, you know. It has to be. That's just what he is most well known for. That's just who he is. And he was so goddamn good at it.
Yeah, he was. And if you want to really talk about, again, all roads lead to Gotham City, there is one actor that I did find who has, they always talk about Batman and the Joker as being kind of two sides of the same coin. The yin, the yang, the good, the evil, the peanut butter, the jelly. But there's one actor who has played
Don't tell
both
Two-Face.
The Joker and Batman. Yeah, Two-Face. My favorite Batman villain, easily. Just the physical embodiment of split personality disorder. But one actor has played both Batman and the Joker. He played Batman in Batman and Superman Battle of the Super Sons, and he played the Joker in Batman the Long Halloween. And this is a guy who has done animation, but is also, he's primarily known for video games. And anybody who watched The Last of Us show, and if you haven't, you need to go and see it, saw him. Mm-hmm. Anybody who played the game heard him. I'm talking, of course, of Troy Baker. Troy Baker, who played Joel in both of the Last of Us video games. and showed up in a character role on the Last of Us TV series. But this guy, boy, oh boy, you want to talk about prolific credits again. I mean, he's done mostly video games, but he's also done quite a bit of animation. He did the Squirrel in God of War Ragnarok. he was Sherwin's on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Not just the squirrel.
Many roles on American Dad. He was a
Bitter Squirrel.
Yeah, Bitter Squirrel. That's a very important distinction.
Star Trek Lower Decks.
Played Pagan Min in Far Cry 6. He's on Rick and Morty, Mass Effect.
Young Justice.
He was Simon Krieger in the Spider-Man Miles Morales game.
Ooh, did quite he was a bit Guy on, Gardner in Young Justice. I love Guy Gardner, the asshole Green Lantern.
Done quite a bit of voices on Ben 10, the Marvel's Avengers video game. Did voices in Death Stranding, Fortnite, the Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. He was Batman again and Joker, both on the Batman vs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, pulling double duty on that one, Batman and the Joker.
Suit, the car, this entire cave.
Master Bruce?
Everything I built! I created all of this because I didn't want any more innocent people to die!
The less we say about Fortnite, the better, by the way. Just,
Yeah, it's not really... that's for kids, but...
I don't care about
we don't want to shit on anybody's fandom if they're into it, but just... Yeah,
not,
really
for
not,
not
for
me.
Not for me.
Yeah. This guy's... he's the voice of Jazz in one of the Transformers iterations, Autobots Alliance.
He even did Jason Todd, Robin, in the Batman Arkham VR game. So he's really just covered all of his bases in the Batverse, really.
That game I wish was longer. It was not very long. It was like half an hour start to finish. And it was good. It was so good that you wanted it to keep going, but it was more like a tech demo. And I've been waiting for them to come out with a follow-up to that on VR. And they just haven't. They haven't yet. He played the voice of Sam Drake in Uncharted.
Yeah. To Nolan North's... Nathan Drake and Nolan North is another one that just has done more work than you can shake a fucking video game controller at.
These are the names my son comes up with. My son is really interested in voice acting, and I don't know that he wants to do it per se, but he's... I don't know if it's just part of his nerdery, his fandom, whatever, but we'll be sitting there watching something on TV, and a voice will come up, and he go, oh yeah, that's Troy Baker, and that's Nolan North. I'm like, how do you know? He's like, because I can hear it. And I look up the IMDb, I'm like, no, and I look up the IMDb credits, and I'll be sure to fucking hell, it's the guy he's talking about. It's like, so he just sits there and he absorbs these guys' voice credits. Like you said, Nolan North, 462 friggin' credits. And again, into Batman, he plays Superman, Clayface, and Javier in Justice League Cosmic Chaos, which is a video game, but still a Batman tie. Rick and Morty, Midnight Suns, the game, because he's been a longtime voice of Deadpool.
Wanna try your luck against the Wolverine?
Short and short on deodorant is a real bad combination, Stabby. You see that? That's how you beat Wolverine, people. And you don't even need optic glass!
When it's not Ryan Reynolds, chances are it's probably fucking Nolan North.
Because Nolan North also did the voice of Deadpool in the actual Deadpool video game.
Yeah, which I thought was fun. Very inappropriate, but fun.
And Nolan, you know, the video game community, when they make video game properties. Now, prior to The Last of Us being so good, I really enjoyed the Tom Holland Uncharted film. I really thought that was pretty good.
It was okay.
And Nolan North played Nathan Drake in the video games across four different titles. And Nolan North actually showed up in a cameo in the Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg movie adaptation. He was the guy on the beach when they they washed up after the big mid-air ship fight. Nolan North was hanging out in a
guy on a beach,
a lounge chair in the beach, which I thought was a pretty nice little nod to the games.
When you're looking at voice credits, I like to see stuff like that. Just and then it's not just voice credits, but it's like also casting credits. You'll see like guy on newsstand, or coffee shop guy, or you know, you see just the dumbest names. But DC credits, of course, Young Justice, which I'm still a big fan of. Still going as far as I know on HBO Max. The last season was pretty good. But he plays the voice of Superboy, Connor Kent. He also plays Superman, Clark Kent. Zatara, the wizard, among others. But Solar Opposites, Green Lantern, Beware My Power. He played Hal Jordan, so he's got a lot of DC cred, in addition to playing Deadpool. Star Trek Lower Decks, Deadpool again. Marvel Future Revolution played Deadpool again. Love, Death, and Robots, which I've seen clips of. I need to actually sit and watch that show. I've heard really, really...
You know, I had it in my queue on Netflix for a long time, and I finally got around to watching it. It's highly rewarding. Very recommended if you're into it. And it's nice because they're shorts. I mean, they're easily digestible. If you got, you know, 15, 20 minutes and you're not sure what to watch and nothing's popping up on YouTube that's interesting and you're tired of flipping through TikTok, then then you can get in an episode of Love, Death, and Robots in a pretty quick order. And it's all... I didn't see a bad episode of that entire show, and they did a couple seasons of it.
Destiny 2, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Batman Good Death Lord. And the Family, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, this guy's... Nolan North is fucking everywhere.
He's a legend for a reason.
Yeah. And again, like I said, he's one of those ones that my kid can pick out just straight away. Which I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's like, is his voice just so identifiable? Or is it just that my kid is that good? I don't know. I choose to think...
Well, I think maybe it's one of those things that you wouldn't necessarily want to... if you ran into him at a con or out in public somewhere, you wouldn't want to say it to his face. Hey, I can always tell when it's you. Like say to somebody, hey, I can always tell when you're acting. Because, I mean, you listen to these guys and they come up with just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of characters. And every one of them is pretty distinct. We wouldn't want to admit that to him, but there are you can only change your voice so much. There's always going to be underlying characteristics to that voice that somebody like William, I'm sure, can pick out pretty easily. But yeah, I mean, when you're tasked with creating that, the vocal presence of that many characters, there's bound to be some common threads.
All right, so the next one I want to talk about, we could talk, like I said, it's really hard to cut yourself off when you're talking about these guys, because it's like you could easily just get lost on their IMDb page, and I am on the IMDb
page. Yes, full frontal nerdery.
But speaking of holy shit credits, 643 credits on her actress page on IMDb, which is no small thing, no fair shakes. Tara Strong.
Oh, she's probably my favorite living voice actor.
Now, this one's going to take a while as we scroll down, so I'm going to have to do a lot of editing here. But just off the top, Teen Titans. Well, Teen Titans Go, which I really don't care for, but Raven, Batgirl, computer voice, narrator, announcer, she's all over that.
Raven from Teen Titans, Azerath, Metrion, Zinthos.
Baby Shark. She's voices in the cartoon Baby Shark. My Little Pony, she's Twilight Sparkle, which I've heard more than a few times, thanks to having a preteen daughter.
All the ponies in this town are crazy!
But one of the most prolific voices that she's done, she's the voice of Harley Quinn.
I'm sorry, Puddin'. Don't be angry with me.
Yeah, when it's not Kaley Cuoco on the actual Harley Quinn series.
Now, I'm going to scroll back down here on our IMDb page. And with all these different credits, it's really hard to get to the bottom here. But I'm trying to get to a point where it would list this cartoon, because it goes by ascending order of date. And this one's an older one. So we'll go all the way down to the bottom here. But looking at things like... we talked... there's a cartoon called TNT. A Mr. T cartoon. But of course there is. Of course there is. We look down at the bottom. She was in the original Care Bears. She was Garbage Pail Kids. She was in Babar. The old elephant cartoon. She was in the Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon. But the one specifically I'm looking for, she was in the Beetlejuice cartoon. And this is before she got married, I guess, because this is in her previous name of Tara Charendorf. Charendorf. Which is does not roll off the tongue like Strong, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, Tales from the Crypt Keeper. And I wanted to get old. I guess we got old.
I mean, DuckTales, Inspector Gadget, My Little Pony, Batman Gotham by Gaslight, Ben 10. Good X-Men, Lord. And
the
of course,
series.
And Marvel fans will recognize her voice as Miss Minutes from the Loki series, the animated clock from the multiverse simulation.
Yeah. She was the voice of Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, in the new Batman Adventures. So I guess she wasn't the original Harley Quinn actress. She's been doing Harley Quinn.
But she did do Harley Quinn
in
DC Superheroes Hero of the Year, in Lego DC, in Batman Arkham Underworld. She's, apart from Kaley Cuoco, who does the voice of Harley Quinn in the series, it's pretty much Tara Strong.
Well, then who did the voice in the original Batman the Animated Series? Because it's a very particular voice. Okay, so in the original Batman the Animated Series, the voice originally was Arlene Sorkin. Okay.
We're broke, remember? What was I supposed to do? Fill the tank, shoot the guy, and drive off?
So she's the one who really made the voice happen when the character was conceived of and created. But really, Tara Strong has been kind of running with it for a lot of years. And if you've played, like, the Arkham games, like you said, she was the big voice in the Arkham games. And we can't talk about Tara Strong without mentioning a few of her other major roles. She's also going to be at that Comic-Con this summer. Lots of really good voice actors are going to be there. It's going to be hard to see who I want to get a picture with. But one of the main voices that you may know Tara Strong from, and this is, again, a female voicing a male character ostensibly, but Timmy Turner from the Fairly Odd Parents.
I wish Cosmo and Wanda were here.
That is Tara Strong. She took over as the voice of, in the new Inspector Gadget cartoon, she was Penny.
Mm-hmm.
And also Evil Penny, for those keeping track. But, Tara Strong has been around a while. There's another one I want to look at here. In Rugrats, she was the voice of Dill Pickles. In Rugrats. Which was Tommy Pickles' little brother.
I was Baby Dill, and that's my camera.
So I guess a lot of baby noises. But yeah, I didn't want to make sure we mentioned that. Because everyone's got a soft spot for the Rugrats. I always liked them.
Yeah, they were a little bit past my time in terms of being a kid's cartoon. I was a little older by that time, but it was cute. The kids liked it, so good for them.
Good for them. Timmy Turner, I wouldn't have thought. Now, speaking of the female voice actors who do the voice of ostensibly male characters, we've got Nancy Cartwright.
I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
Again, another actress that I follow on TikTok, just because you follow voice actors and actresses on TikTok, you're going to see them doing their voices in the wild, which I really think is absolutely a blast. But and Nancy Cartwright's been around for a while. Not quite as prolific as Tara Strong, but you're going to see, if you've ever watched The Simpsons, you know her as Don't Have a Cow Man, Bart Simpson.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Not just Bart, though. Nelson Muntz, the bully. Ralph Wiggum, the eternal punching bag.
I'm in danger.
Kearney, Todd Flanders, I mean, just dozens of voices. But speaking of the Rugrats, Chucky Finster on the Rugrats, Nancy Cartwright.
Yeah.
I made it, you guys, look, I'm on top of the world!
Voices on Animaniacs, and, what else? Played the voice of Rufus the Mole Rat on Kim Possible, which is weird, but whatever. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Family Guy. To be fair, her credits on Family Guy and American Dad were just playing Bart Simpson. So, I mean, I don't know if that actually counts as something else, but
I mean, when you're really that iconic of a character, you can not necessarily confine your talents to one particular show, but it's okay to be known for primarily kind of one thing.
Yeah, I mean, and she's done live-action work as well. I just saw that she did an episode of 24, which I used to really enjoy back in the day.
Yeah.
But which was a Tuesday at this point. But most notably, she's going to be the voice of those Simpsons characters that you know and love. Ralph Wiggum, Nelson Muntz, Todd Flanders, and of course, the irascible Bart Simpson. So I thought Nancy Cartwright had to be mentioned as well. Now, this brings me up a really quick question. It's kind of an aside I wanted to talk to you about, Jim. And I know we're going to probably be running long because that's how we do things.
Oh, definitely.
But we talk a lot about, like, with the whale representation, with... We talk about with shows like BoJack Horseman, where they replace characters who were voicing characters of color who were not characters of color. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Big Mouth, where Jenny Slate was replaced by Iowa Tabiri because they had a white character voicing a mixed-race character.
Right, and they did it with Cleveland as well on Family Guy. Mm-hmm. They've done it a lot across the board where they replace white actors who are voicing actors of color, and I kind of get that. I understand that to a degree, but then, I mean, if you look at it too hard, doesn't that argument start falling apart? When you look at stuff like, oh, who's been doing the voice of Bart Simpson for you know, ever? It's Nancy Cartwright. It's a female doing a male role. Does that count? Because that's the argument that the idiot fanboys throw up, going, well, why is it okay for this if this isn't thing?
And... Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I really don't. Because you've got characters like Nancy Cartwright, or actors like Nancy Cartwright and Tara Strong, and they kind of have the voice of a young boy if they want to, you know, talk about, you know, boys who are grade school age, you know, preteen boys before the old puberty starts kicking in, and they have the voices of these kids down pat. Puberty. Boy, what a hair-raising experience puberty is. But I don't have a problem with that. I don't either.
I don't want anyone to think that I'm taking that stance with this. I'm absolutely not. But it is an argument
that idiots make. When they talk about, well, why is it okay for Phil LaMarr to voice characters who aren't necessarily black presenting? And it's like, come on, man. There's the punching down versus punching up thing. I mean, there really is. When you need representation, but because there are so few roles for a lot of people who belong to marginalized groups, it is important to hire those actors to represent those groups. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily go the other way. It's a privilege thing, and I think it's important to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I just wanted to mention it because, I mean, it is something that comes up, and I have heard the argument, and it's a half-assed argument at best, but... I think you're right. There's a difference between sniping roles that should be given to actors of color or whatever, disabled actors or whoever else deserves to be in that role. I'm a little conflicted, I will admit, with roles like going to, like, I'm conflicted over the whale. I mean, I love Brendan Fraser. I really do.
Yeah.
And I am in no way fat phobic. I'm not fat phobic at all. I'm a fat man myself. But the issue that I see coming out of that is I get where it makes people uncomfortable. But the issue is, yes, there are actors of a certain weight class that could handle that kind of role more authentically. But at that point, you have to look at the class of actor. The name of the actor, whether or not you're going to be able to draw attention to the movie with maybe a lesser known actor, someone who doesn't get the type of screen recognition as a Brendan Fraser, you know?
My conflict with the whale comes, it's a 90-10 thing for me because as a culture, we're pulling for Brendan Fraser. We wanted him to have a win, and he got a win, but oh boy, is it a bummer that it came when he had to put on a fat suit. I mean, first of all, fat is not a costume. I look at fat suits almost like blackface, because it's just really insulting. It's degrading. It's marginalizing to people who are overweight, and not just that, but I mean, you can take off the fat suit at the end of shooting. You don't have to actually live as an American who's carrying around that much weight.
Fat
suit is always.
No, go ahead.
The fat suit is always done for either pity or laughs. That's the problem. Because fat people can't just exist in this country, in this culture. They have to be a punchline, or they have to be, oh, you poor thing. And so it bothers me from that perspective. And if the way that I feel about it is I read this piece by Lindy West, who is a very famous writer. She was the creative force behind Shrill, where A.D. Bryant from Saturday Night Live played her, sort of a character based on her. and about kind of what it was like to be an overweight woman kind of negotiating and navigating the world of being a writer at a weekly newspaper in Portland. And she said, you know, the thing that she had a problem with about The Whale is that The Whale is not reflective of the experience of an obese person. It is about the kind of stories that slim or average people tell each other about overweight people. And that, to me, just really resonated with it. It's kind of like, I had the same problem with it that I did with, like, The Green Book, where it's like, oh, Viggo Mortensen is going to be telling, you know, a black man how to be black, and I'm blacker than you are, and we've got Mahershala Ali obviously playing the foil in that film, and it's a really insulting sort of way of putting a black story or a story of an overweight person into the context of them being defined through the eyes of somebody who doesn't share that demographic, and it bugs me a lot.
Well, now that's more of a storytelling thing, too, because when Brendan Fraser started making his comeback, he was kind of a heavier dude. And he had packed on a few pounds, and so I think he's got a genuine take on that demographic. He was, like you or I, he was kind of a larger guy. And I distinctly remember seeing that because he went on to play Robot Man in DC's Doom Patrol. And he was kind of heavy back then.
But of course, between winning for the Screen Actors Guild Award for The Whale and then winning the Oscar for it, dude obviously went on some kind of a diet exercise program and dumped about 50 pounds, and he got back to his Encino Man or Tarzan weight, but he's definitely more in the model of a leading man. He's not doing any shirtless mummy scenes anytime soon, but still, even then, like, I'm going to be doing this role where I'm playing this tragically obese person, and we're going to be reminded on every frame that he is tragically obese, and you're supposed to pity him and feel sorry for him. But by the time I collect the Oscar for that, I'm going to look a little bit more like you remember me from Airheads. And it's just,
I know.
So much about that bothers me.
It's difficult. It's really hard to wrap my mind around. And again, not the topic of conversation. It's just kind of the representation issue just kind of, it gets a little murky at places. And of course, as I've talked about it ad nauseum, I am pro-representation. I always have been. I always will be. But at the end of the day, with, like, voice acting, I kind of understand where sometimes, like you said, with Nancy Cartwright or with Tara Strong, I mean, you're going to
But, I mean, can Uncle Phil play the Shredder? I mean, can a black man play a Japanese man who's Japanese presenting? Mm-hmm. I mean, the character of Oroku Saki in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles it's not expressly stated that he is Japanese, but anybody who knows the source material knows he is. And of course, you've got Phil LaMarr, who is an African American actor who's playing Samurai Jack, another black actor playing a Japanese character, and the Bad Batch. Phil LaMarr also played Bail Organa, who was originally Jimmy Smits, who was, I mean, maybe not necessarily Latino presenting, but it just gets really, really murky when you start looking at can somebody with a voice play a character that doesn't necessarily share their experience, their ethnicity, their cultural background. It's tough. It's a tough call to make.
It is tough.
And it's not necessarily... we're not going to solve that problem today.
No.
It should be a meritocracy. It really should be a meritocracy in all things. It should go to the best person, but you really need to look at people who kind of share that background first, I think.
Yeah, I get it. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
Oh, no, not at all. It's an important conversation to have, but it's just one of those things that we're not necessarily going to nail shut today.
No, I wish we could, but a couple more voice actors. Let's get back to the actual subject.
We got some quick shots here. We're definitely running long, but there are some folks we got to make sure and mention. Right. Phil LaMarr is a topic of conversation. That guy, Gargoyles, he did some stuff on My Little Pony. He's done some video game voices, some Animaniacs. Very famously, the voice of Samurai Jack did a fantastic job with that. Whether or not you want to call it problematic, it doesn't
matter. Wasn't he Green Lantern in the Justice League series?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Jack? What are we doing, Jack?
Waiting.
Waiting for what? You know the way out. Let's just go.
No. She's another innocent.
Innocent? Are you mad? She's pure evil.
She's lost her way.
You'd know about that, wouldn't you?
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Things have changed, Arthur. And just where do you stand? Where I always have. Against injustice.
Well, you say Phil LaMarr, I'll counter with Keith David. Keith David, yeah, of course, is the voice of the president on Rick and Morty, one of the recent things that he's done. But if you've heard his voice pop up, if you're like me, a nerd of a certain age, you heard him pop up as the Arbiter in Halo.
Kill me or release me, Parasite. But do not waste my time with talk.
He was the Arbiter in Halo. But he's done a whole lot of things. I can't even begin to go down his list. But video game work, Mass Effect, and Halo, and animation all up and down the board. Also a lot of live action stuff. So he's prolific on both sides of that. Let's see. Voiceover. There's some quick shots. Here we have that big-ass list. You got your other Simpsons voice actors. Dan Castellaneta, of course, is Homer Simpson.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend!
Harry Shearer, as well, does a lot of voices.
Hank Azaria.
And Hank Azaria. And we talked about Phil Lamar. James Earl Jones has lent his voice to many, many things. But, of course, is always going to be, and forever will be, Darth Vader.
That is correct.
To me. Jim Cummings, very prolific with Disney voices. Winnie the Pooh. But also Darkwing Duck, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Which is weird coming from
John DiMaggio, most famously is Bender on Futurama, but has done quite a few voices as well.
I'm gonna kick your ass, little girl!
Steve Bloom was the voice of Wolverine for a while. Dee Bradley Baker. What I like about Dee Bradley Baker. What I like about him is a lot of his voices are just like random animal noises, or like dog, or cat, or squirrel, or things like that. But he also does, he voiced Batman in Brave and the Bold. But you also get like just random animal noises in like video games and TV shows and everything. I mean, just random animals.
And all roads lead to Gotham City again. But, you know, we really could do this all day, but I kind of want to put a button on this. I want to wrap this up by talking about somebody who I adored beyond description. If we're going to end this anywhere, we have to end this on this note.
You do yours, and then I'll do one. And I'll do one that not irks me, but just kind of, I get amused every time. But you go ahead, do your thing first. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We just recently lost one of my all-time favorites, Lance Reddick. Now, Lance Reddick is a man who you've seen on screen, and you've also heard behind the scenes. He just passed this week, and I was so sorry to see... to hear about this. He was taken from us way too young. He was only 60. But if you've watched any of the John Wick films, and the new John Wick film is coming out very, very soon, he is the hotel manager.
Charon.
At the safe house. Charon, the desk manager.
Sir, put your weapon down.
He's excommunicado.
Unless you wish to become the same, I suggest you lower your gun.
And he's played that character in all of the films and also a couple of animated properties. He's very near and dear to my heart because I am a big fan of the Horizon video game series. I just finished Horizon Forbidden West, and he plays Sylens, who is kind of an anti-hero, kind of a foil. I won't spoil the story, but he's not for or against the protagonists. He's kind of got his own agenda. Sometimes their interests align, sometimes they don't. But he's very interesting and very layered on that. But boy, the voice work he's done. He's been in Paradise PD, The Vindicators. He did the voice of Albert Wesker in the Resident Evil series. He was Thomas Wayne, Batman's dad, in Batman Unburied.
All right, lead to Gotham.
Destiny 2. He was the commander Zavala in the Destiny games. And boy, this guy, the captain in Castlevania, it's so sad to think of him in the past tense, but he was so ferociously talented. He had this presence, this gravitas that just constantly got him work both in front of and behind the camera. And it just really hit me hard to hear that he was no longer with us. And I'm just really, really bummed out to know that he's not going to be doing any more work that I can look forward to.
Yeah, it sucks. Taken from us too young. He was a really cool dude. One I want to mention, again, before we forget, I feel like there's so many that we could mention that we're not, and that I feel like we're leaving out, and I hate that feeling, but another quick shout-out I want to give out to Frank Oz, the original voice of Yoda, but also Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy? What? Your lawyer is here to see you.
Lawyer? I don't have a lawyer.
Ah, sure you do. Little green guy.
Kirby! Oh, no wonder he hasn't come by to see me. He had to finish law school.
Yeah.
And a fun story behind that.
Everybody should know that, you know, maybe you're not today years old when you found this out, but Miss Piggy and Yoda, same actor.
The fun, I don't know if it's fun for him, but a fun story about that was he directed a movie called The Score with Marlon Brando and Robert De Niro, which I remember seeing. It was okay.
Yeah.
But Marlon Brando is notorious for not giving a single solitary fuck on set. Not at all.
Not one.
And he straight up disrespected Frank Oz this entire time. Like, he would come to shoots like not wearing pants, so they'd have to restructure the shoot to shoot from the waist up because Marlon Brando wasn't going to wear pants. But he would repeatedly call him Miss Piggy while filming, just completely denigrating him while he did that. I don't know how Frank Oz didn't just fire him on the spot. Probably one of those "don't you know who I am" moments. But I didn't want to.
You know, I don't give a shit who you think you are, but he's the director. You don't shit on the director, ever. He's the boss. Yep. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Godfather. That man's the director. He's the boss of you in this production.
Yeah. But the last one I wanted to mention, just because, now, if you hear this voice, you know who it is. He's done live action. He's done animation. And it's we talk about all these people being chameleons with their voice and being able to shift it and change it and do vast different things with their voice. No. This guy is always the same voice. Always. 100% of the time. You know who it is. Patrick Warburton.
Yes.
Of course, he plays the voice of Joe Swanson on Family Guy. He was the Tick in the first live adaptation of the Tick.
Kronk in Emperor's New Groove.
Kronk, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming together.
But, I mean, his voice is always the exact fucking same.
But when you've got a voice need to mess with it too much. He knows he's got gold in there. He doesn't need to do anything different with it. He's going to be Patrick Warburton, and that's just... he's going to be that guy.
No, it's all coming together. But,
why do we even have that lever?
Pull the lever, Kronk!
Pull the lever, Kronk!
You know, you really should label these things.
But,
so good.
Now, here's the part where you guys come in. We know for a fact we've missed a bunch. We know. The list of prolific voice talent is just so large, and there's obviously so many things we can talk about that we know we've missed some people. So tell us who we missed. Who do you think that we were amiss in not including in this list? We definitely want to hear from you. Send us your ideas. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/FuelYourFandom. You can hit us up on our email, FuelYourFandom@gmail.com.
FYFTalentBooking@gmail.com. On Twitter @Fuel_Your. On Instagram @FuelYourFandom. On every podcast platform, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify. You can find us pretty much everywhere. And if you want to hear the latest and greatest episode without worrying about when it's going to be syndicated to your favorite platform, you can always pick us up at fuelyourfandom.buzzsprout.com. However you find us, we're glad you find us. Just jam us way down deep in your ear holes and give us a listen whenever you get a chance.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be very... it's going to be very interesting to see the people that we've forgotten. And I don't want to say forgotten as if, man, screw those people. They didn't make the list. No.
It is a small fraternity, but we're definitely not going to hit on everybody.
No, absolutely there's room for a lot more inclusion on this list. So let us know who we've erroneously left out, and we will definitely address it. But we want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Feel Your Fandom podcast from Jim and I. It warms our tiny black hearts to know that you care enough to give us a listen. So from us to you, we want to thank you. And also, please do remember that everything is fandom, and fandom is everything. Take care. We'll be right back.
Number one sister. Dust for Prince.
I found Prince!
No, fingerprints.
I don't think so.